It's time for Comic Review Weekly, produced by Jackrabbit Studios in association with GravyBoy.com. Now here's your host, Andy Slott.
Hello there, comic book fans. Welcome to episode 29 of Comic Review Weekly, the podcast where you get the lowdown on comic books. Hosted by me, Andy Slaughter. Comic Review Weekly is brought to you by the creative minds at Jack Rabbit Studios, home of Gravy Boy, the comic for folks who like a little hero and their heroes. Check it out at www.gravyboy.com. It's great to have you here. It's my goal to get you to try out a few new titles that you may not have otherwise considered, or possibly to save you a few dollars by helping you avoid a really bad comic book. Well, I have to be honest with you all, it has been a crazy couple of weeks for me. My wife, my 2-year-old daughter, and myself just moved into a new apartment, so as you can imagine, things have been a little hectic. I've moved a lot in the past few years, by the way. No, I'm not trying to avoid the FBI or anything, it's just the way circumstances have played out. But fear not, even though my life is fairly busy, the comic reviews will keep coming. And on that note, here's what we've got in store for you today. Basically, it's a free comic book day roundup, a run-through of some of the titles I picked up. DC Comics' contribution to this yearly event was a reprint of Superman Batman No. 1 by Jeff Loeb and Ed McGuinness. We've already reviewed the first trade paperback of that series, so I won't go back over that again. Marvel Comics' contribution was something new, however, X-Men Runaways, the first ever crossover with those two super teams. Written by Brian K. Vaughan with hip manga-esque art by Scotty Young, X-Men Runaways pits the popular mutant super team at odds with a teenage gang whose parents were supervillains. What starts off as a friendly confrontation leads to scrapping when the X-Men declare that Molly, the youngest of the Runaways group, a mutant with high strength, must come with them to learn how to control her powers. Naturally, she refuses, and when the X-Men won't take no for an answer, action ensues. Not expecting the kids to put up much of a fight, the X-Men get a big surprise from the magic-wielding Nico, the powerful son of Voltron, Victor, and the wily smartass Chase. It all makes for a fun little bout that ends almost as quickly as it begins. Not bad, but not really substantial enough to sit down and read. In addition to this story, there are promos for all-ages series like Franklin Richards' Boy Genius and Marvel Adventures' Avengers, and an illustrated summary of everything that has happened in Ultimate Spider-Man from issue 1 up until now. Fairly comprehensive enough to get me possibly picking up that title again. I give the X-Men Runaways book 3 out of 5 stars. I don't know how many comic book shops were giving this next book out. It's published by a group that I had never heard of before called Claypool Comics. Claypool Comics, according to the information in the issue, was started around 1992 by Ed Villa and Richard Howell, a couple of creators who were sick and tired of the overhyped, event-driven stories of the era. It was their wish to put out books that relied more on classic elements of sequential art and storytelling rather than mega crossovers and the like. Two of the key titles of Claypool Comics are featured here: Deadbeats, essentially a soap opera with vampires, and Soul Searchers and Company, a random gaggle of magic users for hire. Deadbeats is written in pencil by Richard Howe and inked by Ricardo Villagran. It is currently up to its 75th issue, and the story featured in this free comic book day edition is something of a standalone meant mainly for introduction purposes. In the beginning, we meet Titania, a spoiled rich girl who is forced to move to Fear City, where the events of Deadbeats transpire. She is quickly introduced to the quote-unquote good guys of Fear City, the people who stand against the feuding vampire families and their lust for the living. The good guys pretty much come off as a bunch of weirdos, because instead of doing the normal things you do when you meet someone, you know, ask where they're from, where they work, etc., etc., the good guys immediately unload to her just how dangerous Fear City is because of the vampires. No tact whatsoever, just, "Hey, how's it going? By the way, vampires are real, and most of them live here." Okay, moving on. At first, she doesn't believe them and goes about her business, which mainly includes walking around strange places by herself in the hopes of picking up guys. Some of these guys naturally turn out to be vampires, and Titania sees the error of her ways. That's really about it. To be honest, I had trouble reading through this simply due to the writing. It reads like something that may have been written 25 to 30 years ago. Going by what I've seen this issue, the characters seem fairly one-dimensional and indistinguishable from one another. They are the various vampire families with their own agendas and such, but really there was nothing we haven't seen before in something else. I mean, the second page alone shook my suspension of disbelief by the poor dialogue and questionable actions of everyone involved. I mean, people just don't talk like that! Anyway, the artwork was not bad at all, and at least looked professional despite the writing. The other half of the Claypool free book was Soul Searchers and Company, written by none other than Peter David, penciled by John Hebink with inks by Al Milgram. Now this one I kind of liked. True to form, Peter David tells a fun yarn with character and spunk. Soul Searchers and Company revolves around a group of wacky, dysfunctional magic users who pimp out their services to pay the bills. Their founder is Arnold Q. Stanley, a grumpy prairie dog with teammates like Baraka, a mustached fire demon from an Arabic hell, Bridget Lockhart, a former Olympic athlete, and Peter, the accountant. The short story contained in this freebie is really just an introductory, day-in-the-life kind of story. We catch up with the Soul Searchers as they are about to receive a bravery reward from the begrudging mayor of their hometown. Then, we flash back to a few hours earlier. The team faces off against an old enemy with a special weapon that works only against positive magic users. The positive magic users being the Soul Searchers. It's a fun little brawl that ends up with the prairie dog claiming victory. If you happen to spot the Soul Searchers and Company book, it may be worth it to give it a look through. I found it amusing and refreshingly similar to other dysfunctional super team books. As a whole, taking the good part with the not-so-good part, I give Claypool Comics' free comic book day offering 2 stars out of 5. There were several other offerings from other companies that made it onto my take-home bag, such as Image, Dark Horse, Top Shelf, and Oni Press. All of which were nice books, I will say, but by far, my favorite freebie was from Gemstone Publishing. And it's Walt Disney's Donald Duck Comics. Not only sporting a rare cover by legendary Uncle Scrooge creator Carl Barks, this book is packed with 3 fun stories of Donald, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, and Daisy. The first of the 3, Metaphorically Spanking, is written and drawn by none other than Don Rosa himself, and it has the 3 nephews trying to get away with their own little version of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Skipping school, every attempt to enjoy their day is darkened by the threat of Donald discovering them. We see their fishing time ruined, they have to miss out on a movie and a baseball game, and swimming too. The other 2 stories are fun jaunts with work by Pat and Shelley Block and coloring by Susan Daigle Leach. I love the Gemstone reprints. In fact, I've started picking them up regularly to kind of balance out all this darkness I get with the other series like War of the Worlds, Walking Dead, Great and Secret Show, and even the superhero books. These stories have a timeless appeal that brings me back to some of the better memories of my childhood, especially in the case of Barks and Rosa's work. There is even historical and architectural accuracy in the stories, with backdrops that could have been taken from National Geographic. I give the Donald Duck freebie 4 out of 5 stars easy. Well, everybody, that's it for this week. Thanks again for listening to Comic Review Weekly. You can email me your comments and suggestions at andy@gravyboy.com. I would love to hear from you. I am always open to broadening my horizons and checking out new books, so if you have anything in mind that you would like to hear about on the show, let me know. Also, we have an online map that you can see where the listeners of the show live. No stalkers, please. If you want to put yourself on the map, stop by this website, www.frappr.com/comicreviewweekly, one word. Join us next Monday for another new episode of Comic Review Weekly at www.gravyboy.com/CRW. I'm Andy Slaughter, wishing you a fulfilling comic book reading experience.